Next case will be Disability Rights Wisconsin versus, Walworth County. Mr. Resnick.
Thank you, Your Honor, and good morning to the court. This case represents the most stark case of disability segregation that the Seventh Circuit has ever heard. And the question before the court...
You've checked them all?
I'm sorry?
You've checked them all?
In our research on this case, we've not seen another one. And the question in this case of such grave public importance, which revolves around standing of Disability Rights Wisconsin, is if Disability Rights Wisconsin has no right or authority to sue Walworth County in this case.
Now, I want to do something here. I'll give you a little bit extra time because there's some things that I don't quite understand. If
okay.
I could, I'd just clear it up.
Sure.
I want to start out with this. First of all, you're saying that there's this is not a claim under IDEA,
correct,
where there's no issue about FAPE and IEP,
correct,
and all that sort of thing. So there's you don't think there's anything you have to exhaust there.
That's correct.
All right, then the next thing I go with, you're going under the statute, this 51.62.3A1, to get this authority that you apparently have in, by the statute.
Which is conferred by federal law.
And that's comes down through that. And now, is this confined to Walworth County?
No, it's a statewide authority.
This organization you represent is statewide?
Statewide. Disability Rights Wisconsin, correct.
Okay, then that goes to my next. Is Lakeland School unusual, or is there one in every county?
No, it is very unusual. And in fact, I guess I'll ask Lee from the court whether or not I can veer from the record. Because
well, maybe this is outside the record. Maybe that's why I'm asking these questions,
sure,
because I didn't understand exactly. As you say, if you know, are there any other counties in Wisconsin that have this?
Yes, I do know. There are two other similar schools in the state. There is a school called Sybil Hopp in Green Bay, and there's a school called Fairview South in the Elmbrook School District, which is in Waukesha County. What is interesting to note about both of those schools, and those are the only two schools like that. In fact, there were other schools. They have closed over recent years. What's interesting to note over those schools is the size. The size of Lakeland is enormous. It's enormous not only by Wisconsin standards, but by state standards, such that approximately 11% of the children in Walworth County are put there, 11% of kids with disabilities.
Okay, well, that...
Conversely,
two
schools, Sybil Hopp in Green Bay, Brown County, the third largest county in the state, has only 69 children in that school, much smaller percentage. Fairview South, in the fourth largest county in the state, Waukesha County, has only 47 children in that school. So that is why we use the term hypersegregation in Walworth County.
Right.
Are we saying that you cannot have such a school? No, we've never said that.
Well, let me ask more. Now, as far as Lakeland School, you say there are 260 out of 2,300 who are students with disabilities.
Right.
And that I want to know, what's the source of the funding? Where does this $22 million come from? That they're going to build.
My understanding is that the county has issued bonds for that.
The county has.
That's correct.
Now, is that the county council?
Yes, county board.
Okay, so, well, I'm trying to discern because what I'm looking
at... It's not a school board. I'm going to be clear on that. It is not a school board.
I know. There's different boards. But somebody has the authority to pass a bond issue
for
$22
million. Yep, it's governmental entity.
And then... Now, then I get to the big picture. It sounds to me like you are challenging this policy,
correct,
of having a school of this magnitude,
correct,
as opposed to, under Article 3 at least, representing an individual, someone that is injured. You're not alleging any particular person that's injured.
That is correct. And I think you've hit it on all fours, Judge Mannion, and I really appreciate that, because the appellee has consistently attempted to pigeonhole this into an IDEA case. And I think the reason they do that is because if it were an IDEA case, there would be all kinds of things wrong with our bringing this case.
Well, I assume there are some number of students in this that belong there. I'm not even sure who would go in a place like Lakeland. But the fact that there's only three in the whole state, it makes it unusual. But are there students in this population that should be in there?
Well, I'm not going to take a personal viewpoint in that. I think it's safe to say that reasonable minds could agree that some of those students, the most severely disabled, may appropriately be there.
Have you represented, or is this part of your job, to represent any people in there that you think shouldn't be there or the parents think shouldn't be there?
Let me explain that dynamic, and the answer is yes, but I want to explain what's happened in our history in representing students, including currently, against not Walworth County, and I want to emphasize that, because we represent them in the IDEA context, not against Walworth County, but against one of the individual 15 school districts. Why? Because they are the local education agency. Walworth County is not. But Walworth County has set up this system where the dynamic is such that all the richness of services for children with disabilities are here in Lakeland, and the parent is given this very difficult choice. You want physical therapy and occupational therapy for your kid that's in the IEP? Go to Lakeland. Oh, you don't want to go to Lakeland? Oh, well, you can go to the local school, but you're not going to get the services that have been determined by the IEP team.
Okay, but that's a parent's choice, isn't it?
Well, actually, it's not. It's an IEP team choice.
I know.
And
but
the services, if this were an IDEA case, the IEP team first determines the services that should be delivered and then doesn't make those services contingent on the place. More importantly, though, if this had proceeded past the motion to dismiss, if, for example, there were more evidence before you than the complaint, which, by the way, gives you the statistics and the difference between statewide segregation, which is minimal, and what happens in Walworth County. But if this had proceeded further, what would have been before the district court would be that our experience on a regular basis is that every time we represent a parent who doesn't want to be in Lakeland, the local school district takes them through the process and settles at the last minute, often on the first day of a due process hearing, and says, okay, we give. And what has happened as a result of that is there has been no opportunity for even the lowest level, a due process hearing officer, decision on this matter.
Well, the cases that get here, we get them, we've had them recently and for the whole time I've been here and everyone else, is it's the parents that don't give. They fight this on because they don't like the IEP, they didn't like their ability to participate in it, or various and sundry other reasons. And there are some parents, as I'm sure you know better than anyone, really go to the mat on this stuff.
Sure.
And they won't tolerate whatever you're describing of capitulating and everything else. And what you're basically saying is these 260 kids, there may only be a small handful that belong there, and all the rest of them shouldn't be there, and the parents have somehow been coerced, and the county has somehow been disillusioned to raise $222 million in a bond issue. And this, what you're asking us to do is to enjoin a policy that somebody has started.
And that's right. We are asking you to enjoin that policy.
And that just seems to go beyond at least what you would do. If you can do that, you can. It seems you can enjoin them for lots of reasons.
Well, consistent with the Olmstead decision and the ADA, okay? The ADA has a mandate, an integration mandate, that doesn't require integration of 100% of the people with disabilities, but it requires, pursuant to Olmstead, that when a public entity funds a program, as Walworth County has chosen to do, it must do so and make efforts to integrate those with disabilities. Now, keep in mind the timing of this lawsuit. Lakeland School has existed since the 1950s. The suit didn't happen for 50 years until the county, because the school building was falling apart, needed to do something with that building. It was no longer even safe for
the children. Is this a day school or are there residents?
It's a day school. It's a day school. So they needed to do something with the building. Nobody disagrees with that. We don't disagree with that.
Well, it started with 14.
I'm sorry, what?
It started with 14, did you say, in 1950 or something like that?
At least, I'm not sure how many kids were there in the 50s.
20 or something.
A relatively low number. And
what I'm trying to figure out is it's now 260,
right.
The same building.
Right. Correct. It does. You know what? It doesn't even physically comply with the ADA. We've never brought that case because we don't, frankly, want to make it easier for kids to go into that school physically.
Yeah, okay? We'll see. They make that case. They say, well, yeah, you got to build a bigger building.
Right. Okay. Well, you got to build an accessible building. Fine. We don't have a problem with that. What we have a problem with is the county's decision. County had three choices. Practically, we could shut this system down and we could integrate all these kids. Now, they weren't going to do that, understandably. They've been used to this system for a long time.
I want to say your time's up, but I told you I was going to give you more, and I haven't let my colleagues say something. So I just want to let you know we'll give you another 5 minutes.
I appreciate that. Number two, they could have built a smaller school, and this would have been consistent with Olmstead, and we would not have brought this suit. They could have said, we really believe in Walworth County that we have such complex kids with disabilities that some number of them, and I'm not going to guess the correct number, that evidence isn't before the court, some number of them need this segregation in order to get a free, appropriate public education. But we are mindful of what the Supreme Court said in Olmstead about the ADA, and we are going to make efforts to integrate more of them. But no, the county didn't make that choice. They made a choice to build a bigger building, and I don't mean bigger by square feet, bigger in order to increase the capacity of the number of students who would be segregated there, in direct violation of the Olmstead decision and a direct violation of the ADA. That's what we're here about.
Do the parents, I mean, these students are obviously transient. They go through this, and it's not all the same ones forever.
Not necessarily. Some could go in and go out. That is possible,
well,
as you know.
But they just by age. I mean,
Yes.
I mean, they go through just like other schools.
Eventually, you could age out, right?
And you keep having all new sets of parents and different things. Is it possible that the parents of these children prefer this to mainstreaming and all that?
There are absolutely many parents who prefer this. But remember,
is that wrong for them? Are they wrong?
No, not at all. The point is, does the county have the right under the ADA to set up a dynamic where the choice is you get richness of services over here, which is why they like it, and you don't in the integrated setting? And that's the choice that, frankly, the record's not complete because we never got past the motion to dismiss stage.
You see, if it goes back to the court, there are 2,000 kids that are not here.
That's correct.
And you're saying they're getting terrible service.
I'm saying that many of them are not getting good services. I believe we could bring that evidence. There was no opportunity to do so.
Well, what do their parents say? Are they going to you and say, we want help?
Yes, absolutely, on a regular basis, including
and, and you do that?
Absolutely.
You help them get the IEP that they think is appropriate?
We do our best to do so, absolutely. Yeah. And the point being that we have to do more of it, and we will do more of it because this school is going to get bigger.
And that's what I wanted to talk to you about, the standing issue, because you certainly have a strong case for standing on your own behalf, given that you have to spend more money advocating on behalf of the students in the expanded school. But you didn't allege that in the complaint.
Your Honor, the complaint perhaps is not the most artfully drafted complaint possible. I think it's easily inferred and was briefed throughout, including at the district court level and here, that damage would be done to us. If the court ultimately determines that the only flaw in this case is that there was a missing sentence in the complaint, and therefore you're going to uphold a rather sparse district court decision based on that missing sentence, that DRW will expend more resources because of this, then fine, we'll go back, you will take that instruction and we'll file it again. We think that would be a waste of judicial resources when everybody knows that's what's going on here. It's not like the appellee didn't know about it. You know, we're in notice pleading here. There's a lot of discretion before both the district court and the Court of Appeals.
Okay, and then my other question, because you clearly have a stronger case if that's the theory for standing.
I understand.
Regarding associational standing, why isn't Crawford limited to situations in which members or constituents of the association face a certain as compared to speculative injury? I mean, isn't the injury you claim children with disabilities will suffer here just speculative?
It's only speculative given that not 100% of the students are segregated, but by far, at 20 times the state rate, many of them are, and we would put evidence that we regularly get complaints about that, including currently, if we went past the motion to dismiss stage. So it is just this short of certain in the sense of what the history has been and what the numbers are. This is not a school with five children that we'll have to wonder whether anybody else will ever come to us complaining about this. And keep in mind, the increase in the size, Your Honor, is going to make that even more likely. I would argue that if Brown versus Board of Education had been a case where that local school district had decided, well, you know what, we're just going to take 50% of the African-American kids and put them over there. And it's not certain that all of them will be there, but we're going to segregate a whole bunch of them, maybe the worst-behaved ones, if we can analogize it to this case.
That yeah, but wait a minute. You know, that would apply to everyone, and you couldn't even have this mainstreaming separate teaching if you go on that theory, that you can't separate them out for this particular purpose from the other students, or only mainstream them for certain things. That's if you go with that and talk about that, just a segregation case. This is a disability case, and it's one that we're trying to focus on in what's in the best interest of the child. And you make it, I guess, we're going to make, if we get back to court, a strong case of why this is a wrong policy,
right,
which is what bothers me a little bit about the courts making a policy decision that local people make and raise money for and do a lot of other things at local government. You want to supersede all of that and go have the courts do that. And that,
Ron, that courts that, do that all the time.
Well,
if the policy violates the ADA, that's the decision.
They do it all the time if they make it under Article 3, and maybe there's, given your specific circumstances, you declare this injury. Anyway, look, I've dragged this on, and Judge Bauer reminded, I'll give you a minute on rebuttal, and you can sit down, okay? Go ahead.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Ron Stadler, and when counsel says that this is a unique case, I absolutely agree with him. This is a unique case. Because here in this case, we're talking about standing in terms of an association to bring a cause of action that really is overlaid with a statute that commands individual analysis of a child's right, not a collective analysis. And DRW points to other cases and talks about there was standing for associations in other cases like Crawford and standing in Hunt versus Washington State Apple Advertising. And in Worth v. Selden, they found standing in those cases. But when you look at those cases talk about collective things, about a group of people who are denied rights, a group of people who collectively have been impacted by some piece of legislation. Here we are talking about the rights of disabled children. And this court knows what the idea is about. A child has a right to a free, appropriate public education. And the process for that free, appropriate public education is that a kid goes in and gets an individualized education plan, an IEP. The IEP is developed, and then that team meets again, and they have to determine, how am I going to implement this IEP? And you have to develop a placement offer. And that placement offer has to be in the least restrictive environment. You've got that right to the least restrictive environment under the IDEA. DRW is here talking about the ADA. It's the same least restrictive environment. But it's individualized and it's particularized and it relates to a particular child. DRW talks a lot about Olmstead and talks about the mandate of Olmstead. Don't forget what Olmstead was all about. You had two individuals in a state mental health hospital who had healthcare professionals that said, you know what, this is not the least restrictive environment for these two people. State, take them out of here and put them somewhere less restrictive. If we were here with two students at Lakeland whose parents came in and said, you know what, this isn't the least restrictive environment, put my kids somewhere else, they'd have standing to do that. And in Olmstead, because the state refused to put them where the professionals said they should be in a less restrictive environment, there was standing.
Why is this the only one in the state or just one of three? Can you at least give me some reason why this county chose to do this what almost no one else does?
I'll tell you exactly why it has a large population of students. Parents like it.
So will the expansion of the Lakeland school increase the number of students with disabilities at the school?
That question can be answered two ways, and let me tell you both answers. One answer is No, it won't, and it cannot, because the only way a kid can get into Lakeland School is to go through their school district, where they sit through the IEP process, they develop this education plan for the child, and then the team says, okay, where is the least restrictive environment where we can place this child? If the team says Lakeland, then the child can go to Lakeland. If they say it isn't Lakeland, it's somewhere else, the child can't go to Lakeland.
Yeah, but with the expanded population, isn't there, I mean, aren't the numbers going to likely, and of course I know we're kind of speculating, but likely might increase?
It's not likely that it may increase. I mean, there are kids in the district right now. If they need a placement, like Lakeland, the school districts have a legal obligation to put them there. So every kid who needs Lakeland is there.
So the students with disabilities at Lakeland are placed there because it's not possible to integrate them into a classroom setting with individuals who don't have disabilities.
Their IEP team and their parents have determined that Lakeland is the least restrictive environment in which they can receive a free, appropriate public education.
And they wouldn't be in, so they, therefore it's not a good setting for them to be in an integrated setting.
Correct. Under the IDEA and under the ADA, if there is somewhere other than Lakeland that is less restrictive that could meet that child's educational needs, there is an obligation, a legal obligation, to put that child somewhere else. And if there's a kid who is at Lakeland, whose parents come in and say to them, this is too restrictive, the school has to either say, yes, you're right, and move them out, or say,
I had the impression that the plaintiffs were complaining that the money being spent in Lakeland could better be spent someplace else. Is that your impression?
Well, they make a number of different arguments. Their goal is to shut down Lakeland. They don't want the school. It is Walworth County who is spending $22 million to build a physical building.
But he says that he has no quarrel with the fact that there are people in Lakeland, students in Lakeland, that belong there and should be there. Did you hear him say that?
I heard him say that, but I think they have a large quarrel with the existence of Lakeland School. You heard counsel say the school is a piece of junk. It's old. It's dilapidated. It doesn't meet ADA standards.
Why do 230 or 60 parents, assuming it's one each, want to be there? Why is there such a demand if this school is so broken down and dilapidated?
For the exact reason that council stated earlier, there's only three schools like this in the state.
Well, they're coming
people
from
move,
other counties?
I'm sorry?
Are people from other counties in this place?
People move to Walworth County so they can get their children into Lakeland School. You can look at it two ways again, that, well, there's only three of them, there must be something bad with it. No, there's only three of them, so people flock to it. I mean, if a parent decides this is where I want my child, that's where they end up going. They try to get there.
I see. Okay.
I mean, you can look at everything through two different lenses, but the reason there's kids there is because their parents want them to be there. It's DRW who doesn't want
this
them
is,
over the
this
parents.
This is a magnet school, isn't it?
I mean, it draws people in, definitely.
And there's something that has to be attractive about it. If there are lots of people in it and a demand in the county to raise $22 million. This is, what bothers me in all of this is we sit here and don't know much, and I recognize if there's a case before the court and gets in there, but that's where it gets back to standing and individual parents and students as opposed to this association. And I know that's the issue we have before us, but it seems to me if parents are moving there, I know this is, I don't think it's outside of the record at the present time, but I have these curiosities because there is something different here than there is everywhere else. They complain that it's taking too much money and taking it away from other those that they, I'll call them LREs for lack of another thing, those students that in a less restrictive environment that are qualified for that. And something normally in the cases we almost invariably get are the ones where the parents are really complaining about the IEP and whether it's a proper place for them. Seems to me that this place, if it's this bad, it should have lots of parents willing to be represented to get out of there.
It absolutely has to be an individualized analysis. And so if there was a parent that was here if they could even identify the parent. They don't have to name the parent. They don't have to name the student. But if they could identify the student, here is student Jane Doe, and her placement at Lakeland is not the least restrictive environment, they've got standing to do that. They can bring that forward. They've got nobody. And I'll tell you that in regard to the standing issue, when we look at whether there's a direct injury, counsel admits, yeah, if you look at our pleadings, it's not really there. It's not that it's not really there. It's not there. I mean, they tell you in their brief that they have specifically alleged that they have direct injury, they're going to spend more money, they are going to advocate more. I've read that complaint 50 times. It's not there. There is no such allegation. And I submit to you that there's a reason that that complaint wasn't amended at the district court. When we talk about the waste of judicial resources, it would have been very easy when we filed our motion to dismiss and said, hey, you got no complaint here. They could have filed an amended complaint, although they had already filed one, but they could have sought leave to file another amended complaint and said, we're going to be hurt. We're going to be harmed. They didn't. They have not alleged that. They didn't put that into their complaint, and there's a reason that they haven't. There is nothing in the record about parents coming to them and saying, I want my kid out of Lakeland School. And I think if the court looks at the inference of why haven't you alleged that in your complaint, it's because it doesn't exist. They have no direct harm. They didn't put an allegation of direct harm in the complaint. There is no direct harm to them. There are not parents who are trying to get out of Lakeland School. And if I am a parent who's trying to get out of Lakeland School, I've got all my administrative remedy under the IDEA.
How did the appropriation come about? Is this something that, is it the county council or what body makes that decision?
In regard to building the physical plan
$22 million. That's a big ticket.
It has been voted upon by the county board, and all 30-some members of the county board are asked to vote on it. It passed the county board, and they authorized the issuance of $22 million in bonds to build this building.
Now, do they do that with hearings and public hearings?
Sure. It all has to be done in public. They have public hearings on it. It's done in an open session.
Is there an appeal process that challenge that decision?
I don't believe that there would be, because obviously it's an action of the county board. It's a political creature, and it does as its members vote.
Is that an appointed board?
It's elected. This is the county board. It is the 33 or 31 people.
The legislative body of the county.
It is the authoritative body of the county. It runs the county.
So basically, if to stop this thing, we'd have to enjoin them.
Right.
You would have to enjoin them from building a building that no parent has complained about, and that the appellant cannot even point to a parent, not name them, but they can't point to a parent who is objecting to it.
Well, let's talk about this Crawford case then, because one of the reasons you say it's distinguishable, because in Crawford it was certain that there was a party member who would be harmed by the law. And here you're saying, you know, this injury is more speculative, but aren't there facts that they pled in the complaint that suggest an associational injury is not really speculative, like the statistical evidence showing a disproportionate number of students in Fallworth County are educated in segregated environments, that only a minority of those students have significant needs, and by implication, a large majority of Lakeland students don't have significant needs and could be educated in a more integrated environment. Couldn't that be reasonably interpreted as showing that Lakeland students face a certain injury, or at least an injury as certain as that faced by the plaintiffs in Crawford?
I don't believe so at all, Your Honor, and let me address both of those. In regard to the rate of segregation, let's say that Lakeland School has the highest rate of segregation in the nation for disabled children. Neither the ADA nor the IDEA has a mandate about your rate of segregation. And I'll harp on this again. It's an individualized determination. You go back child by child by child. For child A, is this the least restrictive environment? For child B, is this the least restrictive environment? It's not about rates. Maybe you have more kids than somewhere else, but you have to look at each individual child. And I'll tell you the same thing about significant needs. It may be that there are some children at Lakeland who have more significant needs than other children. But again, it's the least restrictive environment in which that child can receive an appropriate education. It very well may be that a very severe child can get an appropriate education at Lakeland in the least restrictive environment, and a child with half the needs can get an appropriate education at Lakeland and still have the least restrictive environment. And I'll go back to associational standing, and I want to touch on this, and that is the caution that the court gave us in Worth versus Selden when we first started talking about associational standing, and I think it's the crux of the problem we have here. The court warned us at page 511 of that decision, so long as the nature of the claim and the relief sought does not make the individual participation of each injured party indispensable to proper resolution of the cause, associational standing is appropriate. We have a situation here where the nature of the claim, being least restrictive environment, and the relief sought, being put me in the least restrictive environment, does require the inclusion of the individual child. We can't possibly address the issue of least restrictive environment without looking at the individual child. That's why associational standing doesn't work in this case. They can't come into this case, DRW, and say, we represent who? They represent themselves, and they represent their ideological belief that we shouldn't segregate children. But the law allows us to segregate children if that is the placement that they need in order to receive a free, appropriate public education. If they have an issue, if they have parents coming to them saying, I don't want my child at Lakeland School, they have the right and they have the ability to help those parents file claims under the IDEA, to exhaust their administrative remedies, to have a due process hearing, and to bring it up on appeal through the district court as to whether that child, that particular child, is receiving an appropriate education. The brush they are painting with here is far too broad. We cannot analyze Lakeland School as to whether it's the least restrictive environment of a class of kids. It's whether it's the least restrictive environment for these individual kids, and they do not have standing to bring forth what essentially is a class action. We would ask the court to please affirm the district court's dismissal of this case. DRW does not have standing. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I'll give you another minute, Mr. Spencer Redmond. Sure.
So quickly. First of all, regarding your concerns related to public policy, Olmstead made a decision on public policy, and the Supreme Court went far beyond saying that these two individuals should go out of the institution. It went to the core of the way public policy determined that people would be institutionalized in two states, Florida and Georgia, Tennessee versus Lane. Public policy, that state of Tennessee had decided that we are not going to make courtrooms accessible. Public policy. The Crawford case, a public policy decision about voting that this court determined was inappropriate. The ADA integration mandate requires public entities to administer services, programs, and activities in the most integrated setting appropriate to the needs of qualified individuals with disabilities. That's what this case is about. It's not, they want to pigeonhole the individual kids because then this issue of whether or not they can set up the dynamic such that 11% of the kids are segregated will never, ever be litigated. Ever.
Okay. Thanks very much. Case will be taken under advisement.